everyone. Welcome back to our journey through childhood cancer with your host, Ben Schroyer. I want to first off stop for a second and apologize for the extreme delay in this fifth episode. Life has been extremely crazy lately, and carving out time for it has proven to be extremely difficult. So many things have happened since our last episode, and I'm going to get into some of that in this episode of why the delay and the reason for it all. So again, I apologize for the delay, but here we are. So let's get into it, right? Our last episode, we talked about our fearing the unknown. We discussed all the different types of unknown scenarios during a childhood cancer journey. Well, in this episode, I want to go into our round four journey and some of the reasons, again, for the delay in this podcast. In our last episode, you know, the fearing of the unknown, the discussions we talked about with that, and, you know, I told you about Hannah's anaphylactic shock during her chemos, and there's so much that goes into a childhood cancer journey and the different types of treatments and the cancer diagnosis and all the different types of lab work that has to be done. There's so much that goes into this that people just, they don't necessarily understand, especially when it comes to like a treatment journey. So like she just ended round three. She's going to go into round four. And then after round four, there's more to it than that, because between rounds four and five, they have to scan to see if the chemo is doing its job, shrinking the tumor, at least shrinking it enough to, we already know from the previous episodes that I've already told you, we already know that it has been working. It's shrinking her tumor, but we also need to see if it's shrunk it enough between four and five, where they really want to do the operation to remove the tumor if possible. And now, when it comes to neuroblastoma, you know, they say that their ultimate goal is to remove at least 90% of the tumor of the tumor for neuroblastoma. So if they can do that, then the odds of survival and the success rate is much greater than it is if they can only get a portion of it or not hardly any of it at all. So our whole focus would be on, let's get as much as possible, right? Well, we'll get into that. That'll be rounds four and five. That'll be between those. But right now, I want to go over a little bit about the delay in this episode and Hannah's round four that she's just getting ready to kick off. We had a bit of a break between rounds three and four, and that was really kind of nice because her labs continued to be good. At her clinic visits, and we had a lot of family coming in and out of town. Her mom and Mike came into town, so Granny and Grandpa came into town, and my mom and Dad came back into town. Nanny and Granddad, as she calls them, as our kids call them. And so we just had a lot of visitors in and out. Aunt Mo came into town, and she was helpful because she's a physical therapist, so she was able to show us, you know, now, in our journey, of course, we have physical therapists, and they go, Hannah does PT with them at the hospital, and anything we can do to try to help make Hannah a little stronger, the better for her. Well, just so happens, Ginger's sister, Morgan, is a pediatric physical therapist, so she works with children. So she was able to show us some stuff that we were able to do, you know, at home to help, you know, also get Hannah a little bit stronger. And anything we can do to better Hannah, for sure we're going to do, and advice we're going to take. So it was kind of so nice to have this little bit of a break. During this break, I took the boys to a spring training game here in Sarasota, the St. Louis Cardinals, who is our hometown team, you know, growing up in Southern Illinois, just an hour from St. Louis, big Cardinal fan. Sorry, I hope I don't offend anybody out there over that, but we are big St. Louis Cardinal fans. And growing up there, we, you know, of course, that's our team. So they were here in Sarasota for a spring training game against the Baltimore Orioles, who has a spring training facility here in Sarasota. So took the boys and we went down by the field before game time. We met Tommy Pham, and Tommy Pham, actually we shared with him the story of Hannah and what she's been going through. And I had a Healing Hannah bracelet and I took it off my wrist and I gave it to Tommy, and he actually wore it for the whole game, and he upgraded our seats to the first row behind the dugout. So it was really kind of cool on how all this kind of journey, you know, there's some cool things that can happen, right? Like, yeah, we have a crappy situation going on in our lives. And for all of you out there who are going through childhood cancer, you understand when I say it is not by any means any type of a fun time. But anything that can happen, not only for you, but your other siblings as well, or the other siblings as well, not your other siblings, your children, and the other siblings as well, anything that can happen that's extra and can be fun for them, the better. And some of these organizations out there and foundations out there and professional sporting teams, they all, you know, they support this kind of stuff and they want to get behind this. Tommy Pham had no idea, like it wasn't like a make-a-wish trip or anything. It was just, hey, you know, here's our situation. Here's what my daughter's going through. Here's what their little sister's going through. And he was touched by it. He took one of the bracelets. He wore it in the game. He upgraded the seats. Every time the catcher came off the field, he gave a ball to my son, Hayden. It was just a really cool experience. It was, the kids had a really good time, and it was neat for them to be able to do that. So I encourage every single childhood cancer family out there, if you have a child going through childhood cancer and you have other children at home, then take advantage of this kind of stuff. Go to those lightning games that you get invited to. Go reach out to some foundations and say, hey, my other children would like to go do something. They like to be able to do this or do that. They'll make it happen. I know we will. We'd make it happen for you guys, because that's what it's all about. It's creating memories and everything you can possibly do during a really crappy time in your life, right? So definitely take advantage of stuff like that. Well, of course, the break came to an end, and Hannah started round four. What's so nice about this round is that it was a pretty smooth round, really. She only got sick one time off one of the chemos. So I do want to explain something like how the chemo works, the chemo structure kind of works in a childhood cancer journey. So like how it works is like this. Okay. Round four consisted of one drug that ran continuous for days 1, 2, and 3. Separate from that one ran for 6 hours on only days 1 and 2, and then three. Days 1 and 2, and then her third chemo ran for 10 minutes only, but all 3 days, 1, 2, and 3. So at certain times of the day, our baby girl was receiving three different types of medication at one time. I mean, wow, right? Like, the stuff that we're putting into these kids, you know, we're poisoning them to try to make them better. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. You know, this is real deal. This is real stuff. And, you know, thankfully during all these rounds of meds, she only got sick one time, one evening off of this round. So, you know, she did her round, she got to come home, and that's amazing, because now we're gearing up for what is going to be her big CAT scan to see what the tumor is doing and see if it's ready to come out. You know, so thankfully we made it through that one with no anaphylactic shock and no real side effects. It's a very crucial time though right now in this journey, because we definitely asked all of our Facebook prayer warriors to pray for us. We knew that this was a big deal. Like, her tumor being ready to come out is kind of like a game changer, right? So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to leave it at that, because I'm going to get into that our next episode. Game changer, right? Let's go to see what this CAT scan is going to bring and what the future holds for our daughter. If the tumor gets to come out, if we need some more chemo, if we need radiation first, what it's going to take to get that tumor out of there. That's where I'm going to stop it, because it gets pretty in depth after that. So I do want to turn our focus now, instead of getting into that whole thing and that part of our journey, I want to, you know, turn the page here. And I want to share with you all the reasons for some of the delay in this podcast and being released. You know, since my last podcast, I received news that one of the families we have recently helped through our foundation had been told that there is no more options for their child, and that they had to take him home and place him on hospice. Unfortunately, I'd also like to say, since my last podcast, he has passed away. This is not the first time, as an executive director of a childhood cancer foundation, that I've got to know a family whose child didn't survive. It's not necessarily an easy job. Oftentimes, I question myself on, you know, how long I can actually do it. You know, how long I want to continue to live not only this journey, but our journey over and over again every single day. And it's tough. It's tough. It's a tough thing to have to do. It's a tough thing to, you know, have to think about. You know, I speak to these families. Like I have said before, the one thing that, you know, we try to do to set ourselves apart in our foundation from others is that we not only give them financial aid, but we also give them our time. We like to go and sit with these families and talk to them and visit with them. So many times these families just like to visit. You know, they're stuck at the hospital all day, in one room all day. Having someone come and visit, not only, you know, visit them, but bring them some gifts and lift the spirits of the kid and can relate to the families one-on-one about, you know, our journey and their journey and other people, you know, the members of our foundation, Matt and Heather's journey and why we do what we do and relate to them, to these families. You know, we get it. We've been there. And they love the fact that they can sit and talk to somebody like that. Like, some of these families don't want me to leave. Like, hey, you know, you don't have to go anywhere. Just hang out. You know, we're getting ready to do this or that. What you know, they enjoy the company. And they enjoy talking to somebody who's been through it. And the reason for this podcast is exactly that. You know, since my last podcast, I have visited the hospital twice. I've sat and talked to these families, more families. All this time, not knowing the fate of the next child, right? Like, I don't know their fate, but I get to know them. I hang out with them. I give them some cool gift cards. And they're fun. These kids are, their spirit is up. Most of them. You know, have you ever had a parent tell you that their child is begging to die just to end their pain? I have. Have you ever seen a child look scared for their life? I have. Have you ever had a child tell you, I just want to break out of this prison and go home? Because that's what they feel like it is to them. They can't leave the room. They can't leave the bed. You know, one of the kids that we just helped, like he couldn't get out of the bed, but for only, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day. Because he had to be hooked up to machines. And he's like, this place is a prison. He gets it. He's old enough to understand it. You know, it's a struggle that I deal with and that I have to, you know, wear on my sleeve, because it's like these kids, you get close to them. They mean a lot to you. And you care about them. You know, sometimes I ask myself, you know, is it worth it? Well, you know, I've had to do some soul searching. And I guess with my posting this next podcast is your answer. Is it worth it mentally and physically? Personally? No. It's really not personally. But is it worth it to me to continue to be there for these kiddos and their families? Because at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about them. And at the end of the day, if not me, you know, then who? A really good friend of mine who's a pastor told me, you know, how, you know, when I was telling him a little bit about, man, it's hard. This is hard. Like, I don't know how many more children I can help and get close to the families and then, you know, one not make it. I don't know how many more times I can go through something like that before I just say, I can't do this anymore. This is hard. And still not knowing the ultimate fate of our own daughter, who, you know, her scans are coming up here in March, or yeah, here in like 2 weeks, a week, a little over a week. You know, you got the scanxiety thing that goes on too. So not only you happen to live the childhood cancer journey of your own, but you're following so many other journeys and you get wrapped up into those journeys. And then when a child doesn't make it, it's hard. It's tough. It's a tough job. But, you know, like I said, I was asking my friend who's a pastor, it's like, I don't know how you, like, how do I continue to do this? And, you know, he's like, how do you think it's like being a pastor? It's not always easy either. And he's right. You know, he is. He has to talk to grieving families and try to wrap his head around what to say to a child's family after a child passes. And what to say at the child's funeral. It's not easy. It's not an easy job either. But, you know, we are all human, right? And we all have a right to our emotions. We also have a purpose. And by the grace of God, I will continue to fight this fight for these kids and their families so long as I live. Even if I don't remain in the position that I currently hold as an executive director of a childhood cancer family, I will forever dedicate my life to fighting for these kids and their families, because they deserve it, and they deserve better. So it's not about me. It's about them. So I got to get past the whole, yeah, woo-hoo's me, and start worrying more about these kids and their families than I do myself, because that's just, that's my purpose. I feel like that's my purpose, and that's what I'm going to do. So in our next episode, I will get into more of Hannah's journey and our CAT scan and what came out of all of that, and our next road down, you know, journey down that road, because it gets pretty intense, I can tell you. So thank you all again for tuning in. You know, may God bless you and your family, and I hope that everyone joins me here next week for our sixth episode. Take care, everybody. Thank you.